Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. It was 6:33 in the morning of November 8th of last year that the start of what would become the Camp Fire was reported to CAL FIRE. By 8 in the morning, the flames had moved into the town of Paradise. And in the days and weeks that followed, the town, the county, many people, and in fact, much of life in that area was devastated or destroyed. The Camp Fire burned until November 25th. It became the deadliest, most destructive wildfire recorded in California history. Patty Mannell survived the Camp Fire. She's a nurse who works with mentally and physically disabled clients, and she's with us now by phone from Oroville on her way to see patients, in fact. Patty, welcome to Insight. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Thanks, Beth, for having me on.
So 6 months ago today, what happened to you and your family that morning?
Our lives changed forever. That morning, as we had had so many, and as the chief had mentioned, there had been several fires in previous years. And in fact, my husband and I had been evacuated three different times where we live. And always the same, we know living on the ridge, Paradise is a ridge community, that oftentimes fires would start in the canyons on the side, and they may have come up into town, and in 2008 they did burn some, I think it was 80 homes in town, but it had always been somewhat controlled. That morning, like any other morning, I'm hearing it on the news, and my daughter, who also works at the agency that I do, she called, and I said, no, it's in the canyon as usual, just come on up to work. She lives in Chico, so she headed up, and I went to work, which was, our home is in the south of Paradise, and this is, I work in the middle of Paradise. Mm. And so got to work, and as soon as I got to work, there was a lot of talk about evacuation, because some of our clients live in homes, they live in homes in the community, and we had two that were on the canyon, and we knew we were going to have to evacuate them, and so we thought we would evacuate them to the administration office that morning. But within seconds, everything was changing so rapidly. One of the girls that I work with, she's on the school board, and she said, oh, we're canceling school. We're having people pick up their children. And then the next thing was, no, we're evacuating the kids. Everything was happening so quickly, but everybody seemed to be remaining fairly calm, which was a good thing. My daughter called and said, Mom, I'm traveling up, but there's fire in town. I can see it. You need to get out. My son is a first responder. He was calling my daughter and saying, tell Mom and Dad to get out of town. It is coming into town now. And this is about 8:15, 8:30, and she's calling, and I said, yeah, I'm with some clients. I'll be out, you know, thinking the same drill we've been through. But on our property, at that property, we have four different structures. Two were homes for some of the disabled, and two were kind of administrative facilities. And someone came running in and said one of the homes had a spot fire. So several people ran to the spot fire, and to put that out, I stayed with a couple of clients, trying to keep them as calm as possible. And then the next thing I know, someone runs in the front door and said, the house across the street is fully ablaze. At that point, our agency does have vans that we transport people in. We evacuated all the people, and the employees that drove the vans left their cars there. So it did become kind of a cemetery for many employee cars. But
hey, Patty.
It was very...
Patty, I'm slightly worried about our phone connection, so I'm going to move the story ahead just a little bit, if you'll bear with
okay.
me. And I do want to let everybody know that you and your husband ended up driving out through that dark sky with flames on the side of the road. I think you had a really terrifying evacuation, but at the same time, your son stayed at your house, I think, didn't he?
He was a first responder, so he was evacuating the hospital and several people on that canyon side. He tried to get to our home a couple times, but he could not get in until he realized we live on a dead-end street. So he went in with two of his partners when they know they could get in and get out safe. Yes, he had to shelter in place several times. But he did. Our backyard was on fire. We have a structure in our backyard that is matches the house. It's a complete storage unit, outdoor kitchen, arbor. All of that was on fire, and they bucketed out our pond and put that out. So we really believe they saved our home. There's only three homes on our street. One did totally burn. Ours partially burned as far as around the house, and then the neighbors seemed to escape with nothing. So, yeah. And my husband and I did drive out through the black sky. I've never seen something so black, and through flames on both sides of town. And that's when we realized the whole town was going to burn.
You know, Patty, it's interesting to report on Paradise through this time. And I know this kind of delicate walk will continue because on one hand, there was so much loss and so much has changed. On the other, there's such a spirit of looking forward and rebuilding, and people like you who have decided to stay and stay put. Where do you find yourself between what was lost and what's ahead?
You know, some days we're more sad than other days, and other days we're very, very hopeful. We're happy that our home is there. I had survivor's guilt, both my husband and I did, and we had to kind of come to grips with why did our house survive? Our house survived so other people in the area, if they want to come back when their properties are being cleaned, or if they are in the rebuilding, or if they just want to come back and sift through some of their items, or just get a sense of about what's happening in Paradise, that we've opened our home to people. And it's given me a reason for our home to be there. We're also very, very energized by the amount of contributions and efforts and just the spirit that's in town to make our community come back. And I just feel like I don't want to let anybody down. There's so many people and so many agencies and organizations that have rallied around us. And that is a very positive feeling for my husband and I. So we're hopeful. We're hopeful that Paradise will come back. It's not going to ever be the same. It will be different. It will look different. It will feel different. But what is right there right now is still the sense of community. And that is what we lost, was our community, our family and friends. And that sense is coming back. And that's very hopeful.
You're listening to Patty Mannell. She's talking with us, as you can tell, by cell phone on her way to Oroville and on her way to work today. You've described something called firebrain, Patty, mm-hmm. and maybe people can relate to that in the idea of having chemo brain as they're being treated for cancer or pregnancy brain while they're carrying a baby. But what to you is firebrain?
Firebrain, and it was very strange. It was like just thought I was doing it. And then you talk to other people and everybody else has the same kind of thing. It's like you have this thought of what you need to do and you forget about it right away. You forget you've done things. You have to, the whole idea of planning for the next day is really hard. There's sometimes it takes an effort to do anything. And it's really, I think it puts us back into, I don't know if it's a protectiveness that we have, a forgetfulness. I mean, I look at my age and I think maybe that's part of it. But when I talk to even younger people, it is the same. It is just a mental state that I think we're all in. And we all can appreciate it now that if you forget to do something or you put something on your calendar and it kind of goes right by, or any of that. It's like, it's pretty interesting phenomena, but I call it fire brain just because I'm used to chemo brain and people say, oh, I have that forgetfulness. The same thing is happening with many of the survivors from the fire.
So you've now talked about survivor guilt and fire brain, and both of these aspects and much more speak to the mental health side of coping with what happened. Obviously, people need homes and food and water and supplies. But what's happening there in terms of resources for the psychological, emotional, and spiritual recovery that needs to happen?
The psychological and emotional, there have been amazing efforts through counselors in the community, just respite centers. Our large church, a CMA church in town, has become really our town center. That's where most of the meetings are being held. They've held free food truck nights with a comedy night. They brought in comedians for us to laugh and enjoy each other's company without having to necessarily talk about the fire. There has been this real sense of volunteers from other states and even Canada that I met that have come in to support us. So when people are seeking help, they can get it. And for those people that aren't seeking help, I'm hoping they're getting some resources given to them so they will seek help. It's going to take us, we'll never get over this. It is what I consider our personal 9/11, not to diminish what happened with our country with 9/11, but it is our personal disaster, and it will always be part of us. You know, it's kind of like one day we keep talking, we talk to people and say, are we ever going to not talk about this? And that's a no. We will always talk about the fire of November 8th.
I think you were listening to my conversation with CAL FIRE's director a few moments ago. We are in a new season, and of those 8 incidents on the CAL FIRE page, 2 of them, they were very small, but 2 were in Butte County. So to the point about the mystery of fire, I want to play a comment that the chief made to my colleague Bob Moffitt on Monday during the wildfire preparedness press conference. And we'll talk more afterwards, but here is Director Porter.
Every time I've gone to a wildfire, no matter how big or small, I'm amazed by things that didn't burn. And there's no telling what happened in every case.
And so, Patty, I think that speaks somewhat to the randomness. Maybe you, as you said, have a specific feeling about what saved your house in your case. So there's partly that and partly that ever-present unknown.
Yes. And I have to say that even my husband and I were talking about last night, because it's now fire week, you know, fire prevention week or awareness week. And I thought, we're not past our last fire, and we're already back into fire awareness week. And it's, for now, it's like almost feeling overwhelming again. And the sense of what we can do, our house, really, again, my son and his friends put out our backyard. But we were also, when I called my husband and said we're leaving, he got up and he burned all, he blew all the pine needles out of our gutters and away from our house. Our house had very good defensible space. But it's interesting to see where some houses had defensible space and burned, and others, like this little mobile home, maybe in a grove of pine trees and did not burn. And so the sense of what is safe and what isn't is very hard to wrap our heads around. And I think a lot of people are having a hard time with that. But yes, we are very much aware of fire season, and we're hoping that, you know, paradise, so much of it burns, so many of the trees are coming down. I guess like 200,000 trees are being cut or more, that we are maybe definitely in a better place now. There's going to be less to burn. But we're not going to be, we're not letting our guard down. We are still being very much conscious about the week of the fire season starting.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Patty Mannell from Paradise. Today marks 6 months since the beginning of the campfire in Butte County. The water supply there is polluted. The benzene levels are dangerously high, Patty. That's been reported and confirmed. What are you doing about that?
Prior to our moving back, we were out of our home for almost 4 months. Prior to our moving back in, we invested in a active charcoal water filtration system that comes right into our home. And we had that tested. And then when we moved back in, we are still drinking bottled water, however, but we do bathe in it. We have also privately tested that water, and we'll continue to do that about once every 2 months at a local lab that's in Chico, and just to give us peace of mind. But we do drink and cook with bottled water still, which is available. The Paradise Irrigation District makes it available to everybody that is in the community free of charge, and they're being very generous about that. They're also trying to move very quickly and trying to see where the hot spots are and how to clean those up and isolate those. So I think it's, people are trying to make the best effort in getting the folks that want to move back in, can move back in, that the folks that are a little bit cautious and kind of waiting, that give them some kind of hope that, yes, we're moving forward on this. And knowing that, yes, our water system is contaminated, and not to drink that water and not to rely on that water source anymore. But, yeah, we're drinking bottled water.
And, Patty, did you say that your home or some rooms in your home are open to people who might need or want to come back or explore whether they can or should come back? Did you say that your family has opened itself up in that way?
We have. We have many friends and family have moved out of the area, and they're coming back. And then, as I told Helen earlier in the week, my husband and I were bike riders, and we've met people on our bike rides who lost their homes but are wanting a place to stay when they come and clean their property. So it's just people that if they need a bed and a shower, I have that. I told Helen I always wanted to open a bed and breakfast, and I can't guarantee breakfast will be on the table, but I can guarantee a clean room and the place to rest when they come. It gives me a sense of why we survived there. And, everybody, you have to have a purpose. And that helped with my survivor's guilt, I think, is that I can be that respite center for people.
Patty, thank you so much for detailing what happened not only 6 months ago today, but in the time in between. I really appreciate the detail and the spirit in which you're living your life. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, my whole goal is that people find themselves whole again, wherever that will be. It, again, will always be in our life, but get yourself whole and as healthy as you can be as you move forward.
Best of luck to you and your family as you move forward, too. Thanks again, Patty. And that was Paradise resident Patty Mannell talking to us about her life and her town 6 months after the campfire. She mentioned Helen, and that is our senior producer, Helen Barrington. Also, reporter Pauline Bartoloni, who helped us with this segment. Friday on Cap Radio, in this hour, 9 a.m. and at 7 p.m., we will be airing a one-hour special produced by North State Public Radio. It is the final episode in their series, After Paradise. And again, that's Friday on Cap Radio at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.